to leave.
Yeah, hello everyone. It's good to be back. Just make sure this is working. It is. Excellent. So, I'm Sam, and I've been a Christian for about 3 years. And recently, I've gone to Denver, Colorado, 2 times now to partner with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, which is a organization based on teaching the young people of the earth just to really be on fire for God and to really build a relationship with Him through various courses. And this course that I recently went on for a few months was the WISE School, and it's called the Worship, Intercession, Spiritual Warfare and Evangelism School. And so it's taught me so many great things that have no doubt I'm going to take with me to the grave and even then beyond, because it's just so good, like the stuff that they taught me. And one of the foundational things that it taught me, one of the foundational things about the Christian life, is growing in relationship, growing in love with our Father. And it seems kind of, you know, basic, it seems kind of foundational, but if you think about it, you don't start decorating and painting a wall if you haven't even set it up. You need the foundations. And so this is what this is going to be about. And I'm going to teach you why it's just so important why we are in a relationship with the Lord and we love Him, and what we can do to build that relationship with Him and cultivate our relationship with Him, start nurturing our hearts to just get more in love with Him every single day. So why do we even need a relationship with the Lord? Like, you know, surely, like, you know, I'm His slave. You know, I don't do anything I enjoy. I sacrifice my joy to the Lord. You know, oh, helpless me. Problem is, that's not biblical. We are called to have joy in our Father. It's so important, and it affects so many areas of our Christian life, that if you are lacking in this fundamental drive to make yourself more in love with the Lord, then you're really going to suffer for it. And it's not what He intends. So why do we need it? So it is the greatest commandment. Because when the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers, they were questioning Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? What is the greatest?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend on all of the law and the prophets." So this is the summation of the law. This is the summation of the perfect life and our standard to which we are held by. And so, what else is there? Well, it's in God's very nature to love and to be in relationship. 1 John 4:8, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And indeed, that verse is especially beautiful in light of what we know about how God has revealed Himself to us, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Within the one being of God, there are three persons, just in a dance, in a waltz of perfect relationship. 1 John chapter 1 verse 18 talks about how Jesus is in the bosom of the Father. And then later in John, Jesus goes on to say, "The Father and I will make our dwelling place in you through the Holy Spirit." Such a deep and intimate relationship that He has with His people. And we need to cultivate that. And indeed, Genesis 2:18, the creation of man and woman. Adam's all alone. He has all the animals and all the fruit, but yet there's no one for him. And so God says, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. And so we see God's love for relationship. He says it's not right that man is to be all by himself, all joyless. And indeed we see, as Paul, he comments on this chapter in Ephesians. And in his letter to the Ephesians, he writes that the marriage that man and woman have, that Adam and Eve had, and no doubt many people in this congregation have, it's a symbol pointing back to how your Father loves you, how Christ loves the church. Even in marriage, it points back to how God wants to be in relationship with us. And indeed, because he loves you so much, and it's just a part of his heart that, you know, there's nothing worse than having feelings for someone and they don't reciprocate it. I really wonder how God deals with it, but he is infinite after all. But yeah. And so in 1 John 4, verse 18 through 19, we have, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he loved us first." And so it's a reciprocation, this relationship. And so, again, some more Bible verses, because our relationship should be based on the scripture and the foundations of. In Luke 12:32, Jesus, when he's giving out all of these amazing parables and stories, some that can bring conviction, some that can bring joy, he says to the people listening, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is your Father's good pleasure. And so that answers the question, which, you know, some of us may not even realize that we don't have the answer to. John Piper, in answering a question from one of his viewers on his podcast, his viewer asked this question: "I know that God loves me. He died for me. He is constantly patient with me. I know God loves me. But does he like me?" It's a profound distinction that sometimes we don't even think about. Does God like me? And the answer is yes. It is your Father's good pleasure that he gives you the kingdom, and that his delight is in you. It's littered throughout the entirety of Scripture. Even when we sin, sometimes we can think to ourselves, "I've gone across the line too far. I've sinned too much. God's angry with me, and he's always going to be angry with me. What am I going to do?" But what do the scriptures say? Indeed, we look to some of the beauty of the poetry of what God pours out his heart on in the Old Testament. And just a few verses from the Old Testament can really inspire us. "Oh, I've fallen short." This is what God said to Israel on the verge of him giving them away to Assyria. "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath." It's so important that we realize that God has good pleasure in saving us and good pleasure in our very being when we are reconciled to him. We were made for relationship. A quick one from Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will quiet you with his love, and he will exult over you with loud singing. I long for the day when I can hear the Lord singing, if my ears could ever handle such a thing. And so, in light of this, it impacts our very walk with God. When we love him and we act out of the overflow of our hearts and not out of a slavish obedience. And it's like walking in law or walking in love. When you walk under a slave mentality, if you walk under law, then you have fear. It's like, oh, it's my duty. It's my duty to God for me to do this. You know, I'm just gonna meet that target. I'm a slave. Oh, woe is me. And yet, there's another way of living your Christian life. And it's the one that God calls us to. Walking in the love of God. Where we have a cup of God's approval. And in the gospel, God filled that cup to the brim. We did nothing to get his approval. And when we walk in law, when we walk as a slave, we try to fill it up ourselves, but we never succeed. But out of the overflow of that cup, in Psalm 23, my cup runs over. Our cup is running over, and out of that joy, out of that excess love that we have for the Lord, is when we should act, because that is the foundation of the Christian walk. And indeed, some real life examples of just how this is applicable. What's the difference in relationship between, oh, I guess it's my turn to do the dishes, versus, no, I'm going to do the dishes? One of them is out of, it's my duty, I've got to meet that target, you know, I'm not really doing it for the other person, it's just for me, and so I don't get yelled at. The other one is, I will do the dishes for you. I will do this thing because I love you and your very being. I love you for who you are. And indeed, I'm pretty sure that all of us have had a lousy job at some point in our lives. And what do we do in that lousy job? We see a target, and, you know, my boss hates me, you know, I don't really like this job, I don't like the customers, I'm just gonna perform to the target and not do anything above. And that's what you're gonna stay at. And you're not gonna have joy from that. It's just out of a slavish obedience. And yet, what we have, when we have a job that we love, what happens? We go the extra mile. Out of the extra mile, no, I want to bless these people. I want to bless my boss. I just love this job so much. It doesn't even feel like I'm working. I'm not a slave. I'm enjoying myself and getting reward as a side. And so it's so important for our quality of the walk that we have with God to just bear fruit for him in a way that is most abundant and pleasant to his nostrils. So, what is a relationship with the Lord? What does it look like? Well, I'm pretty sure you heard this term, agape. It's agape love is a word used many times in the New Testament, and it describes a mutual and self-sacrificial love where you give and they give and you give and they give. And it's just such a relationship that tries to top one another in love. It's just a never-ending build-up full of joy. That's the love that we should have for the Lord. Devotion and worship. Setting time aside for the Lord. Praising his name, where our thanksgiving is always on our lips. And also, obedience. Because in John 14:15, it says, or Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And sometimes, you know, we look at the word obedience and we're thinking, like, what's the first image that comes to our mind? Maybe a lapdog. maybe a slave or something. But is that really what Jesus is calling us to? As we read in Romans 8, he's calling us to sonship. Maybe a better word instead of obedience is loyalty. What's the difference between being obedient to your wife and being loyal to her? Quite a lot in terms of your heart. And indeed, what Paul goes on later to say in Romans 12:1 is, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Every single ounce of us, every single second of our day, should be given to the Lord. With thanksgiving, with praise, honoring his name in all circumstances. Where there isn't a moment where you put off the Lord, you know, it's like, oh, I spent an hour with the Lord, now time to shut him out for five. No, including him in every single aspect of our lives, for that is what it means to have a relationship with him. It means dying to yourself daily. It's like, I remember in America and in the Y school, you know, there's some downtime and I really wanted to watch a movie, but I just felt the call of the Lord to just spend time with him instead of that. And at first it's like, oh, woe is me. I'm the monk, I'm the ascetic. I'll never have joy again. My one joy in life came from that one movie. And then by the end of that night, I come away with joy. Because the Lord calls us out of certain things, not because he hates us. Not because he says, you're having too much fun. I'm the one supposed to be having fun here. Get off. No, it's because it is our joy and our aim in life should be making him the number one joy in our lives. But why does sin come about? I know for many sins it can be, you know what, this will bring me joy. This will bring me happiness. I'm going to do it. The Lord says no, but it's going to bring me happiness and joy. And that's when you sin. But if we make the Lord our joy and the center of our heart, then it's going to be a fantastic deterrent for that times when we fall short and when we are tempted to fall short. And so, what are ways that we can improve our relationship with the Lord? What are some things that we can do? How do we cultivate more love for God? And so, there are multiple methods, one of which is spend time with him. What relationship is like, hey honey, can you make me a sandwich? Okay, thanks, bye. Never see her again. That's not what we would call a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship is spending time with them, setting time aside for them, doing things that they like. And that's what we should do with the Lord. Why should it be any different from the way that we treat our earthly relationships? Our earthly relationships are meant to point towards God. And so here's something that why I'm really stressed is quiet times. Setting time aside, 45 minutes I find is my sweet spot of the time. It's the Goldilocks porridge. It's neither too long nor too short. You can just do what brings you close to God in that time, or whatever you feel led to. Some people, they like reading the Bible for that time. Some people like praying. Some people like worshiping. Whatever you do, set a time in your day. Designate the hour. Designate how long for. Stick to it. For if God is the center of our lives, then he should be the center of our schedule as well. It should be our daily medicine to spend time with him. And indeed, another thing is we need to ask for it. Lord, please make me love you more. Motivate my heart today to make me just be so joyous that I am in your family. And you may ask yourself, why would we need to pray that? I thought it was the Lord's will. We just covered the Bible verses where, you know, the Lord wants to have a relationship with us. What's the big deal? And I just want to point you to the Lord's Prayer. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying the Lord's will, like, Lord, make your will happen. And indeed, Jesus, when he's sending out the disciples to go two by two, town by town, in order to preach the gospel, what does he say? Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send people to gather up the fruits. What we have is a strange partnership that God wants to have with us. He wants us to pray his will into being. That is the nature of prayer. He wants to partner with us in his work. And because we know that it is God's will for us to be in more love and relationship with him, then the words of 1 John 3:14 should give us certainty that he will answer our prayer when we ask that prayer. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We need to pray, Lord, give me more heart for you. Make me look at you and say, you are the biggest and most powerful joy in my life. And the final step is some fun little imagery of a medicine cabinet. And what are medicine cabinets for? They're for storing what you need when you're sick. When you have certain problems, you're cut, you get a plaster, got a headache, take some painkillers, you're sick, get some paracetamol. All of these things that are just stored in this one place to when we have a certain trouble, we go to it and we get healed. And if that's the way of our physical body, then why should it be any different than when we have spiritual problems? When we don't feel like we love the Lord as much as we did? And so this is what the spiritual medicine cabinet is. We all have certain verses of the Bible that when we read them, we just are released into a state of peace because they are our Bible verses. Martin Luther, when he looked at the book of Galatians after struggling, Lord, am I saved? Lord, am I saved? He read the book of Galatians and he said, that's my epistle. That's mine. I take that as my treasure. That's my medicine. And so we need to collect Bible verses, Bible sections, Bible stories, Bible lessons for certain situations when we're in trouble. For example, as we just read in Romans 8:1, we may have read over it, but it's so important. Verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that God is never going to condemn us. We are saved by grace through our faith in Jesus. And so there is no condemnation for us. So whenever we feel condemned, whenever we sin, it's like, oh Lord, I've sinned. You're never going to forgive me for this one. Oh my gosh, my sin is too powerful for your power. Oh no. Slap yourself out of it with Romans 8 verse 1. There is no condemnation. Whenever I feel that God is angry with me, I look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not angry with me. He is not my enemy. We have peace with God. And another one is when I feel that God doesn't like me, then I point you to that verse that I gave you before in Luke. Luke 12:32. This is my medicine for when I feel God doesn't take pleasure in me. And when God just sees me as a bag of meat, not really loved. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is my medicine. And so I just want to ask you guys, sometime today or sometime within the week, collect those verses and stories that are precious to you, some things that really get you through the trials. Collect them into a book, collect them into a list, and go to them when you need them. Sometimes what I've found especially is that a lot of my problems and a lot of my worries are needlessly prolonged when I forget the parts of the Bible where it addresses that very topic that will give me peace. I forget them. So we need to collect them into our own little treasure chest, into our own medicine cabinet, to then get us out of that. And this is especially true in our relationship with the Lord. When we feel, Lord, I don't feel like I love you as much today as I did yesterday's worship, what can I do? Open your Bible, get your medicine. And so I just want to finish this off with one final Bible verse that I think really just encapsulates the Christian life in love and relationship. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I really want to challenge you guys today. Collect your medicine. It's going to shorten what would otherwise be very long times of trial and trouble and worry that the Lord already has open in his hand for us. Thank you all very much for listening. It's been a great pleasure.